Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Jesus said, "It's good for me to go away, because when I do, the Holy Spirit will come." I wonder what his disciples really thought when Jesus said that. I'm sure if I had been there, I couldn't have imagined that it would be better that Jesus go away. And yet our Lord knew that the coming of the Holy Spirit would dawn an incredible new age for the followers of Christ, empowering all of us deep inside with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I've said before, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible is the passage in John 20 where Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he links his own ministry to the ministry of the Holy Spirit when Jesus said, "As the Father sends me, so send I you." I've been thinking quite a bit lately about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, been praying that I would move even more in harmony with the Spirit, primarily because that's where the life-giving movement of the kingdom takes place. James Dunn once said, "Jesus never taught us that where he was, the kingdom was moving, but instead he taught us that where the Holy Spirit was, there the kingdom of God is moving." That's one of the reasons that Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He had to have a spiritual awakening, if you will, in order that he could see the kingdom and enter the kingdom. And so what I want to do is to spend, a few sessions talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, particularly around the teachings of Paul. I would call this Paul's top 10, except that I'm not sure this is the top 10, and I'm not going to share these in an order that moves from 10 to 1, just 10 teachings that Paul lifts up in his writings about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that I think are important for us to seriously consider in our own lives. Today, I was doing a Skype teaching with interns with Healing Care Ministries International. And in that teaching, I talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is known in Scripture as breath. And I suggested that we had to breathe deeply several times during the day to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is breath. And as we do breathe deeply, to say thank you. That the Holy Spirit is always indwelling us, always there. And I'm sure you're like me. I want more. More of the manifest presence of God in my life. More harmony with the movement of the Holy Spirit in my life, more recognition of the paraclete, the one who stands alongside, in order that we can walk out this Christian life the way the Lord wanted us to. The Holy Spirit is present within us in order that we can actually live according to who we really are in Christ. He wants to empower us to rise up strong in our relationship with Jesus and what it means to be a follower of Christ. I found myself in the past few days praying a very simple prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me to be more aware of your presence, more surrendered to your purpose, to be more in harmony with your movement in my life and through my life in Christian ministry. And so with all that said, I felt like it might be important for us to do a few sessions on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I hope you enjoy this. It might begin to make more sense if you simply prayed a little prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me receive what's being said here today. May it quicken me regarding my relationship with you. Because we're in Christ, our Father has made provision that his Holy Spirit is always with us. And so that's what I want to talk about. And we'll do a couple of these every time we're together over the next two or three sessions in terms of Paul's, quote, top 10 teachings on the Holy Spirit. And I hope you find this instructive and that you'll go to Scripture and you'll look at it, see what it says and what the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life. So the first teaching of Paul that I would like to lift up comes from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And one of the things that Paul is emphasizing here in the book of Galatians is that the Holy Spirit is poured out in our lives in response to belief. Now, we got to get both our head and our heart around that. What Paul's saying is it is not our behavior. It is not our works. It is not the things that we do that actually unleashes the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. But in fact, it is our belief. This is huge. It is the fact that we have faith. Clark Pinnock once said in his book, The Flame of Love, that spirit ecclesiology, the teaching of the Spirit as it relates to the church, spirit ecclesiology does not focus on the quality of its members. Wow, that's a powerful thought. He's saying the unleashing of the Holy Spirit is not linked to how, quote, holy we live and how holy we act, but it's related more to our faith in what it is that Christ has done. You see, God wanted us, wants us, to have an intimate relationship with Him. And then He made and fulfilled all the provisions so that that could happen. Now, I've said this before, it isn't a case of Jesus did almost everything we need to be reconciled with God. Jesus did everything we need. And what Paul is emphasizing in Galatians chapter 3, in this first, if you will, important teaching of Paul, is that the movement of the Spirit in our life comes by belief, by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Christ has done. Not faith in our own maturity, not faith in our own holiness or our own abilities, but faith in Jesus. I guess we could say we need a little more Christ in our Christianity, because for many of us, we're trying to earn what God is already providing. We're trying to measure up to what the Lord has already given us, and that is ours by faith in Christ. I think this is a profound teaching that Paul's giving us. This is why Paul was so upset with the church of Galatia, because they were linking the obedience to rules, the following of rituals and religious obligations as key to being right with God and therefore unleashing the power of the Spirit. Paul says, not at all. Do you think, Paul says, that God gives His Spirit because of works? No. God gives His Spirit because of faith. Faith in what Christ has done. That's why we're Jesus people. We're Christ possessed. We want to be Christ crazy because of all that Jesus has done for us. Now, the one thing that Paul said here in Galatians chapter 3, but also in Romans 8, is that really the Spirit and the law are rather incompatible. See, the purpose of the law is to constrain bad behavior. It's not unimportant. It's critically important. It provides a framework for living as to what's the best way to move forward in life so that you're not hurting yourself and hurting other people. That's certainly important. But the Spirit doesn't come, isn't poured out in our lives because we are obedient to that law. But the Spirit comes to set us free from the demands of the law in order that we can then live according to the fruits of the Spirit. I love that teaching that Paul goes on in Galatians where he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. May faith arise. Wouldn't you like to be part of a group of people? I'd like to be part of that group that allows a culture of belief to rise up in their midst, that when they get together, they have such faith in our Lord Jesus that they're able to count on what Christ said and invite the Holy Spirit to come because of faith in Christ. I want you to know something. If you had a tough day yesterday and there are some ways in which you think you didn't measure up, please don't today allow yourself to believe that you need several days to straighten up your act before the Holy Spirit's going to be present with you. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit wants you to align your life according to the nature of Jesus. That's true. But the movement of the Spirit comes because we have faith in what Jesus Christ has done. And then when the Spirit does come in us, He begins to mature us, transform our behavior, if you will. We experience a spiritual formation empowered by the Holy Spirit because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm desperate for more of the Spirit. Are you? That experiential component of the movement of life in Christ that does enliven us? By the way, there's some great books on the Spirit. Francis Chan book on the forgotten God is very good. Joy Unspeakable by Martin Lloyd-Jones, another great book. I wrote a book some years ago called Untamed Christian Unleashed Church. It has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you read some of these? I find that when I read books on the Spirit, it only enlightens me and inspires me to want even more of what the Holy Spirit can do within me. Okay, so there's our first teaching. Teaching of Paul, Galatians 3, 1-6, that the Spirit is poured out in response to belief in what Christ has done for us, not based on works. Well, let's look at the second teaching of Paul, and that comes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. In that chapter, in these particular verses, Paul is saying that Jesus came to establish something for us. And there are three things that Paul says Jesus came to establish. Number one, that our identity is child of God. All right, I've been thinking of something lately. I may someday do an entire podcast on this, but it's good to maybe highlight it here. We live in a world today where people love to brand other people negatively, put very ugly descriptors in front of a person's name, lying this and crooked that and little this and sleepy that. Well, obviously, I don't think that's the way of Jesus Christ. But what if we did brand people? And what if we started by every person we see, we in our own hearts brand them child of God? That's right. That's the way we respect them. That we see them as being created by God. And whether they're his wayward children or not, one of the things that Jesus says is that he came to establish us as children of God. And so for those that have said yes to being brought into the heart of Jesus Christ, our identity is secure, child of God. There's a lot of uniqueness about us. We can be tall or short. We can be thin or not. But no matter what those descriptors are, the foundation of our uniqueness rests in the fact that we are children of God. That's what gets us our seat at the table, God's table, all the things he provides in order that the core longings of our lives can be met. That's what gets us that seat, the fact that we are a child of God. And then Paul says, because we are a child of God, we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that. He's not just saying there's a seed of the Holy Spirit. He's saying we're filled. Wow. I like to think of that even at a cellular level, the Holy Spirit of the living God that Jesus said he would send fills believers. And then we can be filled again and again and again, something we'll get to later. But this is a very important piece. See, a good teaching from Paul in Galatians 4 is that we are God's children, and as his children, we have the Holy Spirit. I encourage you right now, even speak that. I have the Holy Spirit. I have this Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. He is my helper. He is my paraclete. He anoints me, as we talked about some weeks ago under that rubric of anointing. Now, here's the other thing it says, that the Holy Spirit is constantly bearing witness with our spirit that we're God's child, and he keeps speaking into our lives that he is, the Father is our Abba, which is this amazingly intimate, deeply intimate designator for God, that he is our Abba, our Father. Now, I would suggest if you got quiet and you listened, you might just hear the Holy Spirit whispering that into your heart right now, that you are God's Abba. Now, let's back up a minute. Not because you behaved today. Not because you did some good work. Not because you accomplished something very important for the kingdom. The Father is your Abba because you have faith in what Christ has done for you. that God wanted a relationship with you, and as a result of that, he fulfilled all the requirements so that you can now be in Christ. Wow, that's a pretty powerful teaching, if you ask me, that we can hold on to. What has Jesus done for us in that the living Spirit of God, not a concept, not a theological category, but the living presence of the person of the Godhead dwells in you to anoint you, to be beside you, to be your paraclete, and to whisper over and over again that God is your Father. Now, if you will, the third thing that Paul emphasizes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, is the fact that you receive from the Father an inheritance. An inheritance that really kind of begins now in that he gives us a down payment of things yet to come, but also an inheritance in that he goes to prepare a place for us. And that in the Spirit, there is an inheritance that cannot rust or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us. I would say these are two very important teachings of the Apostle Paul on life in the Spirit. That the Spirit comes to us by faith in what Christ has done, and that he establishes us as God's children, filling us with his presence, and then giving us an inheritance of things yet to come. I think this is a good piece for us to begin to think about, and this is one of the reasons that I've been saying in my own prayers, oh Lord, help me to experience the Spirit more. May I understand the Spirit more. May I long for the Spirit more, because this is such an essential of our lives. A.W. Tozer once commented that the Holy Spirit is a living person, divine, but living person that we can actually have a relationship with because of Christ. And I think deep inside it's something that you long for. I know it's something that I long for. And I can get so busy that I go through a series of days and I even forget the fact that I'm hosting the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The Holy Spirit never forgets that he's here as my paraclete, that he's in you as your paraclete. Maybe you're not having an easy day, an easy time. Maybe you need insight. Maybe you need direction. Why not start by faith, thanking God for the breath of the Spirit that's within you? And just consider these two initial teachings that come from Paul. The Spirit is yours by faith in Christ. And the Spirit is whispering in you today that God is your Father. And as a result of that, you get to sit at the table of the Lord, where all your deepest longings can be met. Hey, God bless you. I hope that you have a quickening occur inside of you that enables you to sense the Holy Spirit wooing you into a deeper relationship with him. Well, until we're together again looking at some of the other, if you will, top 10 teachings of Paul, may you know that the Lord's face is shining on you. God bless you.